Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joining us now on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline, it is Friday. It's time to talk some football with Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com. Mike, thanks for the time this morning. Where do you want to start? There's like a London game this weekend. There's a nice slate of
Oh, okay, stop the bad tune. No.
Let's get into
Tua everything.
Right.
Mike, what was your thoughts last night after what happened Sunday and now followed up with the independent neurologist, said it was his back, and then last night he's lying on the field for 10 or 15 minutes.
Well, and this is really the issue. We saw when he hit the ground last night, he immediately adopted what they call the fencing posture, which is a neurological reaction to brain trauma. And that has been identified by the NFL as something that will get a guy removed from the game, and he will not be back no matter what tests he passes in the locker room. You display the fencing posture, you're done for the game. And that's important because when it comes to gross motor instability, the symptom that we saw on Sunday after his head hit the ground against the Bills, when he got up, he wobbled, almost fell. A teammate came over and actually held him up. The way that the concussion protocol is currently written, if the team physician and what they call the unaffiliated neurotrauma consultant, not affiliated with the team, still affiliated with the league, that's an important point we'll get to, not affiliated with the team, that person and the team physician conclude that the gross motor instability was not caused by a neurological origin, then the player can come back. Well, first question, why? Why can the player come back once we have seen that he was knocked woozy by his head hitting the ground? And I wonder, is it as simple as they put that language in there because maybe he tripped over a teammate's foot? Maybe that's why he was wobbling. You know, maybe it was because it was an icy day and he slipped. I mean, you know, is it some physical cause that they're allowing for in that language? Because I think it should be as hard and fast a rule as it is for the fencing posture. When we see that, and we all saw it, it's know it when you see it, and we all saw it and we know it. He was knocked woozy by his head hitting the ground. The rule should be, player does not return to the game, no matter what happens in the locker room, no matter how many tests he passes, he should be done for the game, he should be in the protocol. And if that had happened with Tua on Sunday, there's a pretty good chance he's not even playing last night. So my A number one agenda coming out of last night is to push the NFL aggressively to get rid of the loophole that lets a player who has that gross motor instability, that wobbliness, to return to a game. Because that's where this all got off the rails on Sunday, because we all know what we saw, and it's astounding to me that the team physician and the UNC let this guy get back in the game, because that means they concluded that what we all saw wasn't neurologically caused, and we just know that that's horse crap.
So do you see the NFL, and before we even get to the NFLPA, and they're obviously upset about this, but the NFL – You expect they'll change things with their neurologist, their independent neurologist?
Well, I think there's several things that need to be addressed. Number one, close the loophole. Gross motor instability, you're out for the game. Number two, let's revisit the concussion protocol and return to play guidelines. When the NFL first had its concussion epiphany in October of 2009 and really beefed up the rules for returning to play, it seemed like the presumption was if you had a concussion, you were missing a game. At some point around 2012, 2013, it flipped, where all of a sudden, hey, you know, he's cleared to practice, cleared to play, back in a week, back in a week, back in a week. More often than not, guy who has a concussion is back the following week. How did that change? Why did that change? And, you know, the words get thrown around, independent neurologist. The technical term is unaffiliated neurotrauma consultant. And even though that person is not on the team payroll, that person is on the league's payroll. And look, the reason the person isn't affiliated with the team is because the team has a clear interest in having its players play. We know that.
Right.
That's been, you know, rub some dirt on it. You're okay. It's just a bruise. There was a book written years ago by the former team doctor of the Raiders. That was the title of it. You're okay. It's just a bruise. And it was about all the things they did to get players back on the field. They're under pressure to do it because they're getting paid by the team. The team wants the players on the field. But just because the UNC isn't affiliated with the team, that person is still part of a broader structure, which what benefits from having the best players on the field. So this person isn't truly independent. And one of the things that I have on my list to do today, and Peter King and I were talking about this earlier on PFT Live, I'm going to send a very long and pointed email to the league asking questions about who hires the UNC, where do they come from, who pays them, what's their standard for being evaluated, what's their standard for keeping their job, because this person really isn't independent. And maybe what we need is somebody who is truly independent, not beholden in any way, shape, or form to the NFL, who is outside of the bubble altogether, who is the person making the final decisions here. Now, the league will never go for that, guys, because the league doesn't like to have anybody who isn't directly or indirectly under their thumb making any decisions about league business. But that may be what it takes.
Yeah.
A closer look at who these people are and what their motivations are and who their masters are. We all serve a master somewhere, somehow. We all are beholden to someone. And just because we hear independent for the unaffiliated neurotrauma consultant, that does not mean the person is independent. They're still dependent on the shield choosing to hire them and choosing to retain them. And I say that because both of these people, whoever they are, team physician in the UNC, saw, I assume, the same video the rest of us saw and said, oh, he's fine to go back in the game. When any reasonable person would have looked at that and said, two is done for the day. Two is done for the day, and he's not playing again until we're 100% sure that his brain is recovered from whatever caused him to go woozy and wobbly against the Bills.
Mike, going forward, we got the Jets on the road in 9 days. Would you be shocked if Tua Tagovailoa started in that game?
I'll be very surprised if he plays, no matter how healthy he is. Look, here's what's going to happen. There's quite possibly going to be an overreaction by the league. And I'd rather there be an overreaction than an underreaction, don't get me wrong. But it becomes now about optics, and it becomes about PR, and it becomes about politics. They don't want, for example, Congress to show up and say, we're going to launch a full investigation as to the current quality of the league's concussion protocol. And we may reserve the right to pass legislation that would create an independent commission that would be responsible for the monitoring and the assessment and the clearance to play for anyone who suffers a head injury while participating in a professional sport. They don't want that. So I don't think he'll play in that next game. And who knows how long he'll be out. But I think what's going to happen now, they're going to go too far the other direction, but that's better than not going far enough. This is one of the consequences of putting a guy in a position where he potentially suffers two head injuries in a relatively short period of time. And some of the terms that were trending last night on Twitter, like second impact syndrome, I mean, this is real. This is why high school players die every year. There's 10 to 15 every year that die because the entire culture of high school football, as much as the NFL would like it to change, you go to a high school game, there's no one there that's providing that oversight. Kids getting banged around. There's no one there to grab him by the horse collar and pull him off the field. It's just not there. I've been there. One of my son's teammates, we were playing a team in Ohio that was beating the hell out of us, and the kid was getting banged around. And, you know, I was like, man, this kid should come out of the game, but how do you make it happen? Yeah. And so it happens at the high school level where you have that second impact syndrome and kids die. That is something the NFL needs to be very vigilant about. They want the lower levels of the sport to emulate the NFL. They need to make sure there's never a situation where a guy who is still in the throes of one head injury potentially suffers a second one and potentially dies on the field. Carson Palmer said 13 years ago, somebody's going to die on the field at some point. And obviously, for a bunch of reasons, that is something that needs to be avoided by the NFL at all costs, especially if there's ever any hope of making the game as safe as it can be at the lower levels.
Mike, was that a dirty hit on Tua last night?
I don't think it was. I mean, he just pulled him down.
You're
the
a smart man, Mike. I agree.
A loaded question because Hollywood in the back has been arguing with us all morning.
Those are dirty. We got a lot of people then, but I get it, man.
The Sunday hit was he and he got flagged for it. But what happened last night? That's I mean, look. How do I say this delicately but accurately?
Go ahead. I've been saying it all morning.
Right.
That's what happens when a 6-foot guy who's built pretty much like me is playing professional football. I mean, that's one of the problems here. I don't know that Tua is big enough to protect himself. And I think that's a fair point to raise. I mean, you know, Drew Brees wasn't big enough to protect himself, but he found a way to protect himself more often than not. Russell Wilson's kind of thick and, you know, has just more overall, just, you know, it just when you look at Tua, and I love Tua as a person, and he's been making great strides as a quarterback, but he doesn't have that NFL body that we see. You know what I'm saying? For a quarterback. And most of these guys are giants. Joe, I mean, you know, 6'5". I mean, they walk into the room and it's like, well, who came down the beanstalk?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a certain size that you need to have to protect yourself against that, you know, what we saw last night getting just ragdolled around. I mean, and that's what's – if Tua was my son, I mean, my son's older than Tua, so this stuff hits home for me. And I remember going to high school games and hold my breath every snap. I mean, I don't think it was a dirty hit, but I don't know that other quarterbacks would have had the same outcome to that similar action because they're bigger, they're thicker, and they just have that, you know, that NFL look. You know it when you see it. And I just wonder whether Tua really has that size he needs to fully protect himself on a football field. I mean, that's a fair point to make, isn't it?
Yeah, yours is, but mine was a little bit different all morning. Is he didn't need to take that hit. Get rid of the football. If everybody's covered, because he has time, he's looking down the field, he knows there's guys coming, he knew that was sack was coming, throw it away, let's line up and play another play.
And that's a great point, too, and maybe that's why Drew Brees was never in that situation. And
correct.
If you are going to play football, and if you're not going to have the typical NFL body where you just have the height or the girth, you know, just that you can withstand getting thrown around by these guys who are very large and very strong and very fast, you got to get rid of the football. You got to make faster decisions. That's part of protecting yourself. You have to avoid those hits however you can. And I admire the fact that Tua is fearless. I admire the fact that he'll go out there and he'll stare down the biggest, baddest guy and he'll smile in their faces and he'll spin away from them. I mean, he's made some great plays this year. He's been phenomenal this year.
Yes, he has.
But you know, we've seen him now. And that's everything, too. And look, I know it was grass in Miami and it was field turf last night. And it just shows you how easily the human brain can get injured. And I don't know whether it's from striking the ground or whether it's kind of that whiplash motion, because that's the one thing that we lose sight of. We talk about helmets and better helmets, and you can make the best helmet in the world, but nothing stops the action of the brain bouncing off the inside of the skull when the head moves violently, no matter what's on the outside. And that may be what ultimately happened to Tua last night, and it may be what happened on Sunday. I mean, I want the best for the kid. I want the best for the game. I want everybody to be safe. And I hope he recovers quickly, but I hope that they come up with a way, like you said, get rid of the ball faster, protect yourself. This is the highest level of the sport, and the players are extremely strong, and they're fast. And things like this will continue to happen if he doesn't change the way he plays.
Mike, we'll leave you with this one. So people are down on the Dolphins too, and Mike McDaniel should have known. He's seen it, and he, you know, and the team didn't care about the player. What's your take on people that say that with Mike McDaniel and the organization on what's happened
the
last 5 days?
Mike McDaniel's decisions are only going to be as good as the information he gets. So when he says last night after the game, I'm 100% sure that Tua didn't have a concussion, well, he's not a doctor. He doesn't know. He's relying on the information that he gets. And a point that I made last night. Now, not that Stephen Ross would have swooped in and said, I'm not letting this young man play football. I don't care what the doctors have said. But when your owner's suspended, who really is making the final call on whether or not Tua plays on Thursday night, all things considered? Who's making that call? But at the end, again, it's the physician employed by the team, and it's the unaffiliated neurotrauma consultant. They cleared him on Sunday, and presumably, I don't know, they check him again Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. There's other questions I'd like to know, like what kind of follow-up was there after the game? Was it just he's cleared to return, and that's the end of it? Or was it after the game we checked him again? On Monday, we checked him again. On Tuesday, we checked him again. It's a short week. There's a lot going on, and I don't think that with everything that was happening, I don't think anybody ever took a step back and said, let's revisit whether or not Tua really is okay after what happened on Sunday.
Mike, thank you, man. Really appreciate it. I saw you were pretty fired up about this last night, and so was everybody else. So thank you for spending some extra time.
Let me just say this. All of us who cover the game have a collective obligation to hold the NFL and the NFLPA. And the NFLPA is complicit in this, too. We have an obligation to hold everyone accountable and ask the questions that are aimed at ensuring that the men who play the game are protected, are safe, and are alive. They have families. They have lives to live decades beyond their years. It's very easy to become desensitized, but we need to remember they're human beings, and someone needs to protect them because they're not wired to protect themselves. They want to play football. So somebody else has to take up that mantle to make sure that they're protected against injuries that could be very serious or worse.
Mike, thanks, bud.
Thanks,
have a
Mike.
Good weekend. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com.
Oh, he wasn't fired up at all.
Woo!
Hey, right now I want to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealers here, man. Let me tell you something. This weekend, besides all the football, you're going to be sitting back and watching on Saturday and Sunday and everything else getting going here, and Heat start playing basketball games and Panthers are starting to play. Hey, let's talk about your South Florida Chevy deal. Let's get you a new car, truck, or SUV. Check that. Maybe it's just a used car, truck, or SUV. Whatever it is, man, it's never looked better than it does right now at your South Florida Chevy dealers, man. Best overall products, convenient locations. Let's get into the SUV family. Tahoes and Suburbans, that new look, more space, midsize SUV. Oh, man. It feels like it's related to the Tahoes and Suburbans, the amount of space it has for a midsize SUV and a great look. And then the smaller SUV, so much style and substance. When you talk about the Trailblazer, the Blazer and Equinox, you got a lot to choose from, man. You got a lot to choose from. And how about Silverado trucks? Huh? You looking for a working truck? Check that. You still need a truck to get the kids around too? We got the combo truck ready for you. Strong, durable truck that's perfect for your lifestyle. I'm not done. Corvettes and Camaros. Have you seen the latest Corvette that's out? Oh, man. That's for guys going through changes in their life right now, man. That's a big change. That thing is beautiful. Find out this weekend. Stop by and find out why South Florida Chevy dealers are telling you these are the best overall products we've ever had. We want to see you come down, take some test drives, and fall in love. Convenient locations in Dade, Broward, and Monroe County. Find new roads and fall in love today at your South Florida Chevy dealer.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!